coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. Finally got my sea legs back. I'm back in full force, and I'm pissed, and I hope you are pissed too, because
you were pissed yesterday.
I was pissed yesterday, but multiply that by about five times. As a matter of fact, I've got, somebody sent this to me. I'm not going to name the person, but I'm going to thank him very much. He made this. Okay. I don't know if you can see this. This is a medal for the radio listeners, a metal, it could be almost a hood ornament, basically. And it's that of a middle finger. That's right. And on the...
You should put that on your Pinto.
My 71 Ford Pinto. Eric the Tech. Don't speak out of school, man. I love that car. It's pea green. And it hasn't exploded yet. But
it's tough keeping up with the enemy.
FJB, but he spells it out, etched it out in on the obverse of this. I'm telling you, the Americans are fed up. Okay, Americans are just as upset and PO'd as I am. So this segment, before I bring Stan Dale on, this is a very special segment I want to hit very quickly. Really, just a couple of things, okay? Number one, in case you missed it, and I didn't bring this up yesterday, in case you missed it, the House passed FISA 702. Okay. By a vote of
my house didn't.
Your house didn't, but the big house did. And they all should be in the big house, the House of Representatives. It passed the vote. FISA 702 again passes House by vote of 259-128. 117 deep state sucking on the teats of the globalists, 117 of them voted for this warrantless spying on Americans. Now, remember where this FISA 702 came from. It came out of the attacks of 9/11, the Patriot. I mean, it's got a sordid history.
Pretty much everything came out of 9/11.
Yeah, you know, in modern times, that's true. Now, if you're as old as I am, you cut me in half, count the rings, you can see that a lot of things began quite further back, as evidenced by the admissions during the church committee back in the mid-70s. But a lot of things started back further. But anyway.
I need to learn this.
Yes, you do.
Only in my 30s.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, to be at that age again, right? But here's the thing. The House of Representatives betrayed all of Americans, betrayed you and betrayed me. And we should be like really upset about this. Right before House Bill 7888 passed, the final passage on Friday, the House rejected a common sense amendment from Representative Andy Biggs from Arizona, which would have required a warrant to spy on Americans. But no. 86 Republicans voted for voted for fascism.
Get my thesaurus out.
Yeah, when I get riled up, man, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to get words out. And, of course, Speaker Mike Johnson, the rhino that he is, passed the decisive vote. It didn't pass. I mean, the amendment did not pass. Now, you remember, I've played this before. I'm not going to play it again. Rand Paul, in an interview with Maria Bartiromo, talking about the abuse of FISA. And that plays into the spying on Donald Trump. That plays into J6. That plays into a lot of things, the FISA. FISA has been weaponized by the Garland, specifically by the Garland Department of Justice. And I might add, too, you could apply this to Bush, but specifically this Biden regime, that steaming pile, everyone involved in the Biden regime, whether they're in the White House, around the White House, in the orbit, or under the control of that meat puppet Biden, is a steaming pile of crap. Do you know, and I hope you know, that Rand Paul, in this interview with Bartiromo, verified that FISA, that the intelligence community, the FBI, the DHS, the attorney general, it lies with the attorney general, violated FISA. Guess how many times? Eric the Tech, take a wild guess how many times they violated the FISA, rules of FISA.
16.
Good guess. You're close. No, not 16. 278,000 times. 278,000. That's more of the population of the city in which I live. 278,000 times.
Yet we still hear about Stormy Daniels.
Oh, old Stormy. Who denied having an affair with President Trump 5 times in writing. But you know, who cares, right?
But you got to make that money.
Yeah. Stormy. Isn't there a song, Stormy? I don't know. I don't know. Who cares? But the final vote on Section 702 of FISA was 273 to 147 on Friday, with 126 Republicans in favor of betraying the American people. That was written on. You can find that article on. Jim Hoft, Gateway Pundit. Thank you very much. Okay, so you know, for all of the bluster, all of the sound bites, as Bongino says, you know, politics is all about sound bites and snapshots. Well, of all of the bluster created by Rand Paul, of you know, out there saying, oh, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is why Americans are getting fed up, because you can have, look, Ralph Baric admitted Fauci and his involvement in the creation of the in the continuation of the gain of function to create the bioweapon that is known as COVID-19. They created it and they admitted it, and Rand Paul pinned them down on it. Where are the perp walks? Where in the hell? Where are the nooses? And by the way, while I'm saying this, to the federal authorities listening to this and having some comments about my language and my delivery, telling me that, hey, you know, you ought to tone it down a little bit. True story. Bite me. You're not going to shut my mouth. You never will. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm just going to get stronger and stronger. So if you need to shut me down, shut me up. If you need me to, if you want to shut this platform down, you're going to have to drag me away to do it. You're going to have to drag me away dead to do it. You hear me? You know who you are. You signed your name. All right. I just had to get that off my chest. So you know, well, and then you have people saying, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, then you don't have to worry about it. My ass. Let me tell you something. The United States Constitution says we have privacy in our papers and our communications. The Fourth Amendment. I mean, does that mean nothing to you, rank and file members? Does that mean nothing to you? No. All right. But Americans are getting sick of this. And there's some revelations here. You have to pay attention. Because Biden is doing something very, very, not Biden, because he's out the, I mean, he's gone. Biden is gone. Jill Biden has her hand up Biden, Joe's ass so far, and he's moving, she's moving his mouth. It's like weekend at Biden's. Let me tell you something. This summer, folks, buckle in, buckle up, buckle down, get ready, because it's going to be one nasty summer. Mark my words, April 16th, 2024. Yesterday, you know, I wish this would have happened on Sunday on my return trip back from Wisconsin. I would have shown, and I, you know, people think, well, that's big talk. You don't doubt me. If you want to doubt me, you could, there's a detective here in where I live. You ask because I guarantee you, she knows I'm serious. I'm sure this would have happened on Sunday, and I would have been one of the lead vehicles. You've got Hezbollah, Hamas supporters. Not the Palestinian. Look, let's differentiate between a Palestinian who's goes around doing their thing, you know, but working hard at the pita shop or whatever they do, right? Versus those people who actively support Hamas and Hezbollah, terrorist organizations. Hezbollah was designated as an Islamic terrorist organization by the U.S. Department of Justice in 2001. In 2010, the State Department officials described Hezbollah as the most technically capable terrorist group in the world and a continued security threat to the United States. These Palestinian rallies are terrorist rallies. Now, there's some video evidence to this, but it's worse than you think. It's worse than that. This is not organic. These people don't give a shit about the Palestinian people, the innocents, the hardworking people. Again, go and make pitas and, you know, skewing goats or whatever's going on, whatever work they do, raising families. They don't care about that. This is cut one. I want you to listen to this carefully, okay? Okay, I want you to watch this and listen to this. Listen to this carefully. There's two particular cuts by Laura Loomer, who's on the scene in New York City. And the reason I want people to pay attention to this is note three things. Note the signage. Now, I had to cut. I'm cutting some of this down. Note the signage. There are some professional signs in there. Note the flags, and also note some of the comments. And I believe the comments do appear in, I'm not sure, the first or second one, but let's go until I cut it. This is cut one, Hagman show notes. Folks, go to HagmanPI.com. That's HagmanPI.com. And under the click on the headline or the title of the show, I should say, underneath are all of the original source links that you can click on and watch the entire link. Credit where credit is due. Laura Loomer, good friend of the show. Love that. Love Laura. I mean, I really, really have a lot of respect for her. Spent a lot of time with her in D.C. when I was there and elsewhere. And I'll tell you what, she's a real deal. And she is a fighter. She is. She'll get right in your face. And I'll tell you, you don't want to get loomered, as President Trump says. So when you're ready, cut one. This is exactly.
Go before they close it.
Go. Okay, now you can see some handmade signs. You can see some Palestinian flags. Where are the police? The police allowed this. Okay, that one sign on the that you saw on the upper right. That's not okay.
Shut our shit down.
And there were plenty of these. If I would let this play for as long as it, there are plenty of those signs. So you have to ask yourself, okay, where did those come from? Who made those signs?
Shut our shit down.
And I'm going to tell you who made those signs. Organizations that are 2 or 3 degrees separated from.
Yeah. Really good, yeah.
You ready for this? Judge Merchant's daughter's organization. And Soros funded. Okay. Judge Merchant, in case you're unaware, is the judge in the Donald Trump trial. Now, how do I know this? There is this overlap of millions upon millions upon millions of dollars that go toward different causes that are not organic. That's one of them. Doubt me? Okay. Prep cut. There's a sign right there. Free Palestine. That was not handmade. Yes, there is an organization. Note the organization, the .org there. Follow that through. Okay, dig. I'm telling you, when you start digging, you'll see that the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, is sponsoring a lot of this. Now, be very careful. Not directly, but through shell companies. Organizations, NGOs, that type of thing. Let's go to cut two when you're ready. This is actual Hezbollah flags in New York City. This, by the way, is not too far from where the Donald Trump trial is being held. Cut two. Listen carefully. Listen carefully.
Excuse me, why are you waving a Hezbollah flag? Hezbollah's a terrorist organization. That's a terrorist organization.
Oh, really?
Do you support Hezbollah?
Yes, I do.
Donald Trump is anti-Semitic.
Don't get the Hezbollah flag.
Donald Trump is anti-Semitic. Look at him. They say Donald Trump is
anti-Semitic. Why are you supporting
this? Donald Trump is an
anti-Semitic.
All right, pause for a second. Keep that up. Did you hear what that street cop said? Respect each other's space. Now, you turn around, you're sorry ass, you turn around and you arrest that individual who is holding up a designated terrorist organization flag. Why aren't you doing that? If that man was holding a Confederate flag, what do you think would happen? That's right. So don't tell me that the police give a shit about you. They don't. But then, okay, hold on a second. Where's he getting his orders from? Folks, you know this, right? Who holds absolute authority over the city police? Anyone? You, sir, in the front row with the Christmas sweater on, even though it's April.
Is it the mayor?
Yeah, very good. It's the mayor. It's the mayor. Okay, I just threw that in there in case you're wondering who holds the absolute authority over the city, over every city in America. The mayor really holds the authority. Is it the police chief? Yes. Commissioner? Yes. But ultimately, it goes to the mayor. This is being allowed in this country. This is the internal takeover of the United States of America by these blue state, blue city pieces of crap that are running this country. And if I was that cop, which I, you know, I'm glad I'm not, that person would be in jail. That's a terrorist flag. Go ahead and continue with that.
A terrorist flag. That is a terrorist flag.
Do you commend Hamas?
Respect each other's faith.
Do you commend Hamas?
We go over there.
You should commend Hamas.
Kill yourself. Okay, there is the face. By the way, there is the face of Biden's America right there. There it is. Folks, if you're listening on podcasts, you can go to HagmanPI.com, click on today's episode, and you'll see what I'm talking about. There it is right there. That's what is, you know, that's normal, right? That's okay. No, I'm not making fun of her appearance. Her physical attributes that she was born with, but what she is presenting. Well, I am making fun of what she's presenting as opposed to her appearance, you know, physically God-given appearance. But these are the freaks, the freakazoids that Biden has. We're giving Biden too much credit. It's not Biden. Biden just allowed others to choreograph this, and it's all choreographed. All right, real quick, what are we going to do about this? Okay, now I was surprised because I've been saying this, and this is why I'm telling you, buckle up for this summer. I was surprised yesterday. I don't really watch Fox News because they're part of the establishment, the leftist establishment, as far as I'm concerned. But I saw this and I said, you know what? Americans need to hear this. You need to hear this because this is what I've been saying. So FBI, who want to comment on my commentary, who want to tell me to tone it down, I ain't. And you know why? Because you might want to tell Senator Tom Cotton, for example, I mean, if you're coming after me, hey, Senator Tom Cotton, well, listen for yourself. This is cut three, Senator Tom Cotton interview on Fox News. We'll go about, oh, I don't know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes into this. I think I cut off the end time. I'll just go ahead and play it.
Arkansas Republican Senator Tom Cotton is joining us now. Senator, thanks for joining us in the breaking news. We have these live images up coast to coast. We're seeing these protests pop up. Bill Melugin standing by with us, Paul Morrow as well. First, your thoughts as we watch this together.
I feel very deeply for all those people who are trying to get to work or trying to pick up a kid. Very worried about the diversion of police resources when it needs to be stopping crime in cities like San Francisco, where firefighters are having to go there when they might have calls for.
Excuse me. What I should have said for the radio listeners specifically, these are the protests, anti-Israel, pro-Hamas, pro-Hezbollah protests, blocking traffic nationwide. Where are they doing this? Where are they doing this? It's places like New York, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle. Do you see any, I don't know, what would you call it, pattern to this? They're all communist-run locations. And if you're there, get the hell out. Go ahead and continue.
for fires out. I have to say, Sandra, I agree with you that you have to get to these criminals early. If something like this happened in Arkansas on a bridge there, let's just say I think there'd be a lot of very wet criminals that have been tossed overboard, not by law enforcement, but by the people whose road they're blocking. If they glued their hands to a car or the pavement, well, probably pretty painful to have their skin ripped off. But I think that's the way we'd handle it in Arkansas. And I would encourage most people anywhere that get stuck behind criminals like this who are trying to block traffic to take matters in their own hands. There's only usually a few of them, and there's a lot of people being inconvenienced. It's time to put an end to this nonsense.
Isn't that jaywalking? Technically.
Technically, it would be more than jaywalking. It would actually be impeding traffic, which you can go obviously you've got a crimes code, and then you've got a motor vehicle code, at least in Pennsylvania. So a traffic violation such as jaywalking would be a lesser offense in general than the PA crimes code or the crimes code of one state. So it would, yes, jaywalking could be part of it, but impeding traffic, another part of it. Again, motor vehicle code. But you've got intent here for a different purpose. But did you hear what Tom Cotton said? Take matters into your own hands. Go ahead and continue that just for a little bit more, because he says it again to the absolute dismay of the person. America, this is what you need to do. Before the cops get there, take it, handle it. Now, how I would handle it, just saying, might be a little different than how you would handle it. But the police, number one, are protecting the protesters. Why? Because they were told to. By who? Well, who runs the police? The police chief? Uh-huh. Or the commissioner? Uh-huh. The mayor. Continue.
Did they protect the January 6th attendees?
Oh, yeah, they protected them right to the gulags.
Yes.
Clearly, Senator, as we watch this together, and to your point about the way different cities and states can react to this, you're obviously saying that in your state you would deal with this much differently. As you heard from Paul Morrow, speaking from a law enforcement perspective, they know that there's cameras on them. They know that they can't obviously hurt somebody in the removal of these protesters. There's obviously a very delicate balance to dealing with this. And the longer it goes on, it would appear the longer it's going to take to resolve it.
Yeah, Sandra, that's what I say. I sympathize with law enforcement having to deal with this. But I think it's time for private citizens, who are the ones being inconvenienced here when they're confronted with these protesters, just to solve matters on their own before the police even show up. Look, most of these people can be easily removed from the streets. And you've seen videos probably on the Internet of that being done in certain places. Those are always the most popular people on the scene are the private citizens who took matters into their own hands.
Okay,
but it's exactly
it right
this
stop
kind
it
of
right
radical
there.
Act.
Cut it. And you can watch the rest of it. Go to HagmanPI.com. What did we just hear? Senator Tom Cotton saying, you know what? Take matters into your own hands. Senator, I got the message. I had that message a long time ago. But I'm going to tell you what. That's the only way this is going to get resolved, is if one of the protesters, just one, becomes carry-on food, or somebody gets out and grabs one of those by the nape of the neck and by their belt and tosses them into the friggin' river or whatever's down underneath that bridge, or something else happens. Because number one, I ain't stopping. Okay, I'm not stopping for protesters. I'm telling you right now, I'm not stopping. And yes, Senator Cotton, I will take it in my own hands. So you heard it, again, to the dismay of the interviewer. You're saying to take it before the point. You could hear it. What a novel idea. That's what I'm telling you, folks. it's going to get ugly. I'm telling you, it's going to get ugly. When you have a senator saying, hey, you know what? This is how we would deal with it down here in Arkansas. To those people who want to keep going, that's what I got for you. Right there. Right there. All right, to class things up a little bit and to make this this episode a little more intelligent is Stan Deo from standeo.com. That's standeo.com. America's Indiana Jones, of course. If you go to standeo.com, you can see all of the headlines. You can see everything that he's got. EMPShield.com, of course. He's a co-creator, founder, man behind the scenes on EMPShield.com. Things happen. But nonetheless, the guy, Stan Deo, deserves credit for that. And, of course, his book, Cosmic Conspiracy, really, really written back in 70, in the mid-70s, 76, really provided a kind of a blueprint for what's happening today. Holly Dale's Dare to Prepare, everything. It's encyclopedic in terms of preparation. And all of his intellectual products, DVDs, and what have you, available at standale.com. Folks, support Stan. Become a patron member of Stan Deo. He's much more measured than I am, much more intellectual than I am. But support him, standale.com. Stan, how are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you. And how are you?
Fired up, sir.
Good, good. I guess I am too. I was up late last night looking at a lot of stuff over the Middle East and whatever. And I realized something as I was sitting here thinking about what to talk about today. There are a lot of things we can about the sun and gravity and various other things. But
I got one thing to say about gravity. Gravity sucks. No, it doesn't. It's a push and pull, right? Okay, go ahead.
It is. I was looking at my life and my mission that was given to me and how it all unfolded. If you look at Jesus today, he is the ark that Noah had. You know, people had to go to a wooden ark to, you know, get above the flood. And Jesus is our ark today. He's, when they say, are you in Jesus? Is Jesus in you? Whatever. It's talking about you being spiritually in the ark of Jesus. And I remember back in 69, I had an out-of-body experience. I nearly died, actually. And I met, I assume it was Jesus. It was a man's voice and to my right, and he guided me through out there in the depths of space. And I got to ask him questions about things. But my main question was, okay, you see all those galaxies and stars. How does this all work? And how do flying saucers work? Mm-hmm. I'd already been working on that. I hadn't quite found the answer of what I wanted, and so that's why I asked. Well, okay. He answered all my questions with a download of information that took years for my brain to assimilate, usually in the early morning hours between 4:30 and 5:30 when I was still asleep. And I thought, well, okay, I got into the anti-gravity program with Dr. Keller. That was interesting. It has nothing to do with Noah's Ark or anything. But then out in the middle of the desert, when I was eventually running from intelligence agencies to get away and tell people what was happening, I gave my life over to the Lord. And I said, let me on board, you know, let me on the ark. And things started to happen almost immediately. Being in the desert and wanting to stay ahead of the intelligence agencies, at that time we didn't have quite the computer power watching people. And so I looked and I opened up a Bible and I chose a name, a fake name. Noah and David, son. So you look at Noah and then David and his son. So I figured, okay, that's a good label. Lord led me to that decision, I'm sure. Noah Davidson. And then we traveled out of the desert into West Australia. And I had to find a place to live. And so I rented a room in a house with two architects. And one of them was building a boat out of wood, upside down in the side of the yard there. And we used to go out there at night during the summer and with cans of beer, lay on the bottom of the ark and drink our beer and talk about life, death, and universe. In fact, they nicknamed me Sark for Noah's Ark. And it just kind of, when I looked at it all, I thought, well, gee, I am like a Noah of this age. And so where's the flood? Well, the flood is of evil, to lift people up out of evil. And if you look at the ark, it floated above the earth and the judgment below on the water, top of the water. And what we're going to do in the rapture is be above the earth and all this evil down here. So anyway, that's the end of what I was thinking about. It was just kind of, you know, interesting that my life took the, and while I was there in Perth, what did I do? I designed and built what? Boats, you know, for a new kind of propulsion. So I could really be confused with a Noah of this age. Anyway, that's enough.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting indeed. Noah Davidson. All right. Hey,
well, a lot of people knew me as Noah, and took a while for me to get them to call me Noah when I eventually surfaced and became trackable. Sark. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about today in particular? Anything Middle East or what?
Wow. Well, okay. There's a lot. First of all, with what happened with the attack by Iran against Israel, the Biden regime knew. They knew ahead of time. They knew this attack was coming. As a matter of fact, you don't have to be read in on intelligence to know they knew. How? Because Reuters on Thursday or Friday put out expect Iran to attack Israel. So, and I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Within the next few days.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, of course, you see Biden getting on Marine One to go roast his nuts on the beach in Delaware outside of his, you know, okay. Very casual. This commander in chief basically, with a wink and a nod, allowed this to happen, knowing that this was all choreographed, I believe, okay, to show this is an election. I'm sorry to even bring this in, but a political stunt for the election to make it appear that America is strong, supporting Israel. You know, by him saying one word, don't. You can't form a sentence to. But anyway, I believe that this was again all choreographed and to make Biden specifically in America in general look strong in their support of Israel, when in fact Biden has got his big fat lips against the asses, plural, of the mullahs in Iran, because Obama is behind it. Obama gave Iran billions of dollars, millions, if not billions of dollars. I can't remember the number, but Biden released, 10 billion access to otherwise sanctioned funds to Iran. And I would say at Obama's direction. Go ahead, sir. That's my thought on this. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Biden, Obama, lots of the left-wing strange people are really just puppets of the New World Order. We know that. If you look at what Jared Kushner said, probably a month and a half ago now in an interview, he laid out the plan for the Middle East. Even this was after Gaza had been invaded by Hamas and everything. Israel had been invaded by Hamas from Gaza. They intend to have a sudden, probably one nuclear bomb release in the Middle East, probably by Israel, maybe by us, but it will take out Damascus, wipe out the 10-some-odd military storehouses of Iranian missiles. Now, Israel's IDF has already hit a facility or two there in Damascus in the last, 10 days. And with somewhat traditional, you know, armaments, no nukes at all. I've already calculated that to get to the 10 known missile storages that are around Damascus and in Damascus by Iran, you'd have to use about a 750-kiloton nuclear device. A megaton would certainly do it, but at least 750 kilotons to wipe out all of those missile stores. Now, I don't know whether this is going to be now, but certainly it would fulfill prophecy that Damascus overnight becomes a ruinous heap that no one will occupy again. It's either going to be a sudden, you know, volcano that comes underneath Damascus and wipes everything out, or it's going to be a nuclear device. And volcanoes take a lot longer than overnight to bury a whole town like that. So I'm waiting for it to happen. Jared Kushner said we're going to have a crisis, and we've got one with Gaza, but we're going to settle that, and we're going to be able to put a stop to Hamas. Now, Hamas is basically one of several organizations run by the Iranian mullahs. So to do that, they're going to probably have to hurt Iran severely. And that's why I think they're going to nuke Damascus this time. And Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia is standing in the wings with, I think, some 40-odd Arab nations, ready to execute the next part of the plan that the globalists have. And Jared Kushner told us about it. He said that they're going to stop the Gaza-Israeli war, or Hamas-Israeli war. And they're going to put a billion to start with, but several billion thereafter, into Gaza to set up a Palestinian or Gazan government, not a Hamas-type government, with a business plan so that every so often the inspectors from the Middle East have to come in there and be sure that no Hamas is in the government structure of Gaza and the West Bank, which is going to be included in that. And they'll have a two-state solution. Now, when that bomb is dropped by Israel, that severe whatever it's going to be over Damascus, I suspect that that's when the world nations, and particularly the surrounding Arab nations there, will say, whoa, hold on. Let's have a no nuclear, you know, treaty or something. Let's have peace between us and Israel, because we can't afford a nuclear war, which will spread globally. And Mohammed bin Salman will be behind that, orchestrating the joining of the Arab, mostly Muslim nations, with Gaza and the Palestinians, and forming a peace treaty with Israel. And we think that's going to be the peace accord, which the Antichrist of this age will sign. And there are going to be a number of signatories, because there are going to be more than 40 nations involved in this. Now, it could be an American person signing. It could be Mohammed bin Salman signing. Personally, I think he's going to be the one. But it could be a number of people, even from Turkey, that will sign the Abraham Accords peace agreement between Israel and the many nations. And I see all this unfolding in the next year. In fact, probably even less than a year. This year, before we can have a new president elected or in the White House, we're going to see some threats that are going to be astronomical to not only the United States, but to the world. And we're sitting on the edge of that now.
We are witnessing the weakening of the United States at the hands of the meat puppet in the White House, but the people guiding him and the strings, you know, you can almost see the strings, the marionette strings. But yes, okay, I can see this, but the process, I believe, also involves the weakening of the United States, which is really required. I mean, obviously, to the extent where we will be, this is my view now, we will be unable to, with any decisiveness, respond. And I hate to go into the political part of this, but I will, which I think, although Kushner was a figure in the first Donald Trump administration, it's my understanding he would not come close to the second. Now, I don't know, but having said that, would that temper the influence, back to what you were saying now, would that temper the influence if Kushner was out of the scene of that scenario you painted, if you understand my question? If I even
well, are you meaning that, like, He's no longer in the U.S. administration politically. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Has no influence, has no position, has no, is nothing to do with.
It may influence it a bit. Okay. But what's going to happen is that Kushner is over in the Middle East a lot with Mohammed bin Salman. They're like princely brothers. In fact, even the Eastern States magazines have painted them as the princelings, the two princes. And it's odd because Daniel, the prophet, said the prince of the covenant, the one who signs the prince of the covenant. Well, there's two princes that could sign that. There's Kushner, believe it or not, because they call him that, and Mohammed bin Salman, who's a real prince in the House of Saud. Because of that, Kushner is over there. He's in charge of, I think it's $2 billion at least, investment fund, setting up businesses in the Middle East. And the purpose of that is that Mohammed bin Salman and him are able to solve various countries' internal problems with a business plan and with money. And so, you know, who's going to turn that down? It's a peaceful thing with money. So he's over there now doing that. And I think he doesn't need so much American support to do what he's doing. Now, say Trump got back in, which, you know, would be nice. But how is he going to turn around the shortage of weapons, the shortage of energy and oil time enough to rectify what has been done by the globalists with Biden? And, you know, because of that, it's just physically impossible to make the changes needed in time to stop this roller coaster going downhill over the Middle East. If anything,
good point.
Being out of the administration is a boon to what Jared Kushner is going to do.
Good points all, actually. I don't know. I do know that looking at history during World War II, how quickly we were able to repurpose different factories and different production facilities to handle the war effort. To answer your question, to respond to your statement, you know, it's unlikely he could create enough strength that was taken away. I guess I have to agree, but we're Americans. And if we had the right person there, we could do a lot if given the command. I believe that, but is it physically possible given the damage?
Things move slowly, you know. And in World War II, that example you used, the Americans were united against a common enemy.
Yes.
We had some people here who were Nazi supporters, but not, you know, half the country. And so we had the support of the worker unions, of industry, and that made it possible for us to move mountains to fight World War II and to win it. Now, we are so divided that, you know, getting permission to make weapons takes months, and we don't have that time. And we aren't united here. If you look at those nuts that were out on the Golden Gate Bridge and in New York and various other places saying, you know, stop traffic. We want to tell people that we can't support Israel like Biden is doing, according to what they're saying, which is probably true indirectly. So when you look at these things, we are a nation so divided that we're not really a threat for the foreseeable future until probably after January 6 or 1, whenever it is.
You made a good point before you came on, so as not to interfere with your time. I did play a couple of segments by Laura Loomer, one of the storming of the bridge in New York and another of the Golden Gate Bridge. But the fact of the matter is, and then a third video of Senator Tom Cotton basically telling a host at Fox News how to handle that is to take matters into your own hands before the police get there. So divisiveness, absolutely. And that divisiveness, by the way, also is being exacerbated by the invasion of these morons coming to this country, not for not to enrich the country, but to conquer us. Because who brings a Palestinian flag as a refugee? I'm not saying those were refugees, but I'm just asking. And none of the things we're seeing right now are organic. The traffic shutdowns and none of that's organic. People think, oh, the group of people just got together on Facebook group chat, whatever, and said, let's go over here. No, it's being directed. And in one of the clips, and I'll be quiet and let you have it. In one of the clips by Laura Loomer, who was in the midst of that New York City ordeal, people were saying Donald Trump is anti-Semitic. Okay, so when you, I don't know how many people caught that, but when you put pretty much all of that together, this is a political movement to by this meat puppet and his handlers to further divide the United States, and we have to put a stop to it. Go ahead, sir.
No, I agree. We're at the edge of a civil war, and if you look at it through the eyes of, you know, Gen Z, Gen X, whatever, drinking their latte coffees, they're going to say, boy, something ought to be done about all this disorder. And they would not object to the president declaring martial law. They've got to do it. Well, you and I both know that's where they're headed. It's done on purpose to give this military control over the people of this country. And what they're doing to Trump, President Trump, they're going to be doing to us. As individuals, and Trump has been telling you, if they do it to me, they're going to do it to you, and I'm trying to prevent that. He is just about worn out at the moment. My hat's off to the man for surviving this long in this political witch hunt that he's been involved in. But watch for it. They're going to do martial law next.
I truly believe martial law is in their plans. It has to be, because how else can you deal with an angry segment of the population taking matters in their own hands? But I also think, if we do this right, and I don't know what that looks like. I have to say, I don't know what that looks like. But if we do this right, we can strike back at these pussy globalists, because in my view, and pardon the expression, but they're a bunch of pussies, because they will run from a fight. I really believe that, and we can prevail. You run over a couple of these speed bumps, and pretty soon they're not going to want to sit in the road. You toss a few over the bridge, pretty soon they're going to get the message. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
Isn't this really what happens in a communist overthrow of a country? Aren't we watching that?
Yes, we are. And Stan, do you think people, normal people, and by normal, I'm saying the average working man and woman, the UPS driver, the landscaper, God bless what they do, or somebody who produces something for a living, do they get that, do you think?
Some may, because it's affecting their income. But sadly, the TV, satellite channels, the newspapers that still exist, all the fake news are bending people's thoughts toward a particular direction. We know that. And this is like a great delusion, a great kind of numbness to what's happening has been dropped on the minds of the people of the United States and probably the rest of the world.
You know what? And pardon me for.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
You know, what blows my mind, a lot of things do, okay, because it's just the way it is, okay? Overload on my head, I think. But you can have, for example, the so-called vaccine, okay, and excess mortality that's associated with that shot. And you can present ample physical evidence that there's a direct relationship between that shot and excess mortality. And people, this delusion that you reference, they refuse to believe it. Oh, that's nonsense. Or the ivermectin You know, the last doctor who told me ivermectin was snake oil. I said, well, I won't tell you what I said, but he's no longer my doctor. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, but for, I just, I'm having a hard time of this detachment. People have got to wake up. They've got to wake up and they've got to respond. In my view, they've got to respond with prejudice. And you know, that's, and I know what I'm saying, but we cannot, if we are to survive as a country, we cannot take this anymore. We can't be pushed by these globalist scumbags.
Even the Bible tells us that in this time, God will send a strong delusion over the people of this planet.
Amen.
We're seeing that. It's just crazy. It doesn't make sense, but it's a massive spiritual delusion, you know, a blindness to what's really going on.
You know what, folks? I just want to take this moment in time. This is Stan Dale. He's a legend. He really is. He's bigger than life, and he's walked on in, I'm not sure the correct, I guess walked on, the Garden of Eden. He's found the Garden of Eden. I believe his work. He's done so much. Here's the reason I mentioned that. If you go to standeo.com, you could become part of his Patreon meetings, which are just absolutely fabulous. Fabulous. Support Stan Deo. Go to standeo.com and become part of his inner circle. It's a couple of cups. Based on my trip back from Wisconsin, a couple of cups of coffee at most. And coffee, yeah, believe me, on the throughway, amazed. Just normal coffee, not, you know, none of this foo-foo stuff. But support Stan Dale. Go to standale.com and click on his Patreon link and support him, and because his meetings are absolutely fascinating. I don't know how else to describe it. And, of course, you know Stan Dale from the Art Bell days. And so I just wanted to say that your work is just absolutely amazing, and I thank you for what you do. And I just really want people to, you know, if people have so many options. You're the guy. You're the guy because you've got your finger on all of this. Go ahead, sir.
Well, by the grace of God, I'm sure. I'm doing my monthly Patreon chat this Sunday at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So if you join before then, you'll be able to join the rest of us as we share thoughts and information, because it's not just a lecture or anything like that. It's a town hall where we all share what we have discovered, what we've want to share with the group. And we, like last time, we had a woman who'd been taking pictures of a UFO over a property just 65 miles west of Fort Worth. And so we downloaded it from her phone during the show and analyzed the light. I think what we did see was the exhaust plume of a missile launched from a base there in Fort Worth, I think. But still, we had to look at it and comment on it and discuss the light patterns of what happened. And anyway, it was quite interesting. Each month it seems to get better, and sometimes we have two meetings a month because things come up. And I almost called a meeting this Sunday because of the situation in the Middle East with Iran and Israel.
You know, I'm not making this up. I'm on my way back. I was in Wisconsin this weekend. I can't remember the days, but I do remember coming back on Sunday and thinking to myself, I wonder if you're going to have a meeting. I'm not making that up because of the events in with Iran and Israel. But I, by the grace of God, I'm going to be there in the corner, quiet as a church mouse, just listening.
Don't have to just listen. People come there and speak their mind.
Brother. You got it going.
Well, yeah, things have been slowed up a bit with the death of my partner, Tim Carty. He was going to bail out of the company, EMP Shield, or at least not be an active participant. We were going to get together for our stage two of our energy production and start doing testing and not to patent it. This was to give it to people who understand how it works. We found that gravity has waves in it. You know, I mean, I knew that for some time back, but I'd never thought about using our anti-gravity coils to convert these waves to electricity. And, you know, as I say, I miss his presence and input. We had a good time researching and developing the EMP shield for sure, but this was our main love. So yeah. On my show images page, I've started lessons in gravity, anti-gravity, and how to convert it to energy. And you'll see it there on show images. There are 10... Yeah, they're going to be 10 lessons, eight of them are already up, and they're all starting with an A for anti-gravity classes, and there'll be A1, 2, 3, 4, etc. And these are things that you can read and watch and ponder as I go along, and to help you understand, those of you especially that are good with a soldering iron coil, you know, coils, magnets, and things, how you can make your own and get into free energy, truly free energy, because this stuff, gravity waves, they have frequencies, but they're all through the universe. The bigger things like galaxies have lower frequency, really low frequency waves. But the smaller things like atoms have vibrational rates in the range of 40 gigahertz, you know, plus or minus 10 gigahertz. Hmm. So by telling you where it is, what it is, and how I've done it, how they did it with the man-made anti-gravity craft down in Australia. By showing you this, it's a gateway for you to use your own mind and ingenuity to make access to anti-gravity and or energy to power your device from the Earth's gravitational field. It's not a one-directional field. It's a two-directional oscillation. Spin of the field that forms our planet spins into space and reflects back. And this diverging wave and this converging wave, spherical, you know, like conic, like right. A tornado, but inside of a sphere. This is what gives the illusion of gravity. It's because we're on a shell of the Earth. It's up a ways from where the null point is, where the diverging and converging waves meet and nullify. There's a point just under the surface of the Earth that gravity is zero. You know, so I'm trying to help people know the secrets. And then after that, this generation of creative thinkers can use that to do all kinds of things. It unlocks the universe.
If I can just ask for a clarification, you said there's a area just underneath the Earth where gravity is zero. Can you expand upon that to the extent you because I, in my head, I'm thinking if I dig a hole deep enough, if what you're telling me, there won't be any gravity there, right? Or
at one point down at a depth, there is a certain radius from the center of this planet where the waves spinning out the in the fluid of space, right, and then reflecting back. They interact and form a stable point where gravity is nullified, the effect of it. But if you go deeper than that, you'll fall back up toward the surface to that null point. So, in essence, you are attracted either below or above that null zone, that shell within the Earth.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
And there may be several shells like that. I mean, if you look in a bucket of paint, which I've spent time in, and you are using a stirring rod to stir it up and then get the stirring rod out of the paint, you'll see that there were spherical waves coming from the center where your spinner was out to the edge of the paint can and reflecting back. And there's a certain speed when you're spinning that spinner with a drill that the waves don't go out to the side and back. They just suddenly stop in a standing wave position. They don't look like they're going this way or that way. And that's because the waves from the spinner are going out and the waves reflected by the can, you know, the sides of the can, where these two waves meet and they form a stable, balanced place where if you move this way or that way from it, you will gravitate back to that point, no matter which way you go. I hope that helps.
That what a great mental picture that was. Thank you for that. Yes, I understood that. And folks, you hopefully you did too. A lot of solid information, standale.com. Go to the show images page and take the lessons, would you call them? Lessons. Take the lessons. How much do you charge for them?
Nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Talk about something so valuable as that. And if you think about it, just ponder that, how valuable that is. And Standale, of course, man, working on this stuff, I don't know. I'd like to see inside your brain sometime.
Man. You're not the first person to say that. I forget sometimes that it's a gift that I have from the Lord. And I just kind of assume everybody else thinks, you know, like that. I realize that that's not quite the case, but at least I'm able to share with you what the Lord is showing me and has shown me. And I did ask for that when I was out of my body with him there. I said, how does all this work? And that was a pretty big question.
And that was a question. Yeah. How does all this work?
Oh, Lord.
If I'm kind of going, I might be saying, oh, forgive me, as opposed to how does all this work? But,
well, it was interesting. I reviewed at that point in my life these sins and the harm I'd caused others, and like a judge, I was traveling out there, and I thought, well, okay, yeah, I understand, that's fair enough. And you know, then I viewed all these things in theaterettes, maybe up to 100 at a time, and I realized that once we have our new body in the heavens, we won't be having a one-track mind. We'll be able to watch 100 TV sets at once and be involved in every one of them. I'm just saying that as a joke. But, I mean, we can have 100 different streams of input and not be stressed by paying attention to all of them at once. I know that's a hard concept, but it was a wonderful experience.
My goodness. Wow. Folks, again, you know, as we get older, too, things like this take on a more important meaning. And I just have a lot of respect for all that you provide, all the information you provide. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's just my job, you know, a Noah of the modern age to share this information with people and the urgency of the situation and where the boat is, where the ark is.
How close are we to that ark door shutting, do you think? I mean, are we?
Well, let's look at it logically.
Okay.
Leave the Bible prophecy kind of to the side. If the believers and followers of Jesus are going to be taken to safety, it is going to be before they're, you know, clobbered by environmental and warfare events. So how close are we to man-made nuclear wars and you know, terror? And how close are we to the sun, which is God's judgment, malfunctioning? And that's something I would talk about this morning as well, because the sun is getting very active, and it's been releasing, you know, flares like crazy in the last week. It's getting worse. It's going to get worse in 5 days. So the rapture, I would think, would be occurring before his people are harmed, before his bride is harmed by what is coming. And we're not talking about what has passed yet, terror attacks and this and that kind of stuff. That's normal life. But we're talking about a global disaster, either from the sun or from humans or from both. So it's close. It's close, maybe before the end of the year. Who knows? I usually think around Easter time of a year. We pass through that, but who knows? Okay. When's it going to be?
Well, you know, I mean, yeah. It's just so many things that are happening. Like you mentioned the sun, all right? So last week we had the solar eclipse. just an unbelievable. Now, it was right over my head, okay, and I watched, I didn't watch the eclipse. I watched the darkness and the shadows and the birds stop and the quietness, and I marveled at God's creation. I really did. That's a sign, right? I mean, that's a sign. And then, of course, you have what the sun is doing. So, and I'm not making this up. I thought of Standale during the eclipse. I'm thinking, you know, if he was here, what would he be saying? I don't know. So I don't mean to digress. Go ahead and take.
If you all right. Well, if you can, I'll tell Eric. Eric, if you go over to my show images page and go down to slide 43, it's below all the A slides. Slide 43, where we look at active region 36, 34, which is very active. If you click on that picture, you'll see down at the bottom of it, you might have to move that up on your screen a bit. Well, yeah, a little bit further. You see down there, we had a C-class 5.5, a C-7.8, an M-2.3, an M-1.4, and a C-4.2, and there's a 5% of X-flares today, just from that site right there. And there are a number of other regions, but this one was the very active one. And we have, if you look at slide 37, this shows us a peak at what's coming around toward us. We're in the middle at zero. When things are there, it's facing directly at us. And if you look to the left, these bright streaks are these very active regions. And this, we can't see part of it because that satellite's dead now. But if this is the middle of the sun, that goes around and back every 28 days, approximately. And so if you divide that up, that's 14 days here, that's 7 days there. So we're within 5 to 7 days of this very active region pointing right at us as it moves around the sun. So every time I see this, I kind of increase my rate of checking the sun and the flare activity because something serious is on the way. And look at slide 40, Eric, just right above that one, slide 40. This is showing the brightness of the sun across the spectral range. And I've got the blue lines are what has occurred this year between March the 8th and the 15th of this month of April. The red was in 2023. And you'll see that the blue lines in 24 March, the brightness of the sun in lots of frequencies started to really increase and ramp up until about April the 7th, and it started to drop down slightly below even what it was last year. So it's very extreme. These are not good. This is not a normal, peaceful kind of average. This is too high, too low. And so that's telling me that the sun is causing a problem right now. Those of you that have followed what I've talked about with the planets and the gas giants aligning on one side of the sun opposite to us, pulling on the sun and causing the surface, the coronosphere there, to stretch and allow more flares to occur. If you click on slide 41 first. Now, that shows you it's April 16th. It shows you where Uranus, Jupiter, Saturn, and Neptune, they're all over on the right side of the sun, and we're on the left where that blue ball is for Earth. And the moon is kind of dark shadowed there, but you can see it. Now, what this means is that the side of the sun facing Earth now and for the next probably 2 months is going to be erupting. The side of the sun is going to be erupting, and because it's being stretched thin by all these gravitational tugs from these large planets on the other side of the sun from us. We've started now, and I showed you what we're having. We're seeing these flares. And as we move for the next month to 2 months, you're going to see more of these things occurring toward the Earth because of the stretched thin surface of the sun on the side closest to Earth. Now, if you want to go and check that yourself at slide 41, you'll see where it says planetary positions today. If you click on that, it will take you to the site that I go to daily and check things there, and you'll be able to move the planets into whatever date you want by sliding down the screen there and picking the details that you want. This is the actual site where I got that photo from this morning. Here, talk about the instability of the sun. We know that every 11.5 years, on average, the sun's north and south pole reverse. And so if you had a north pole up here on the sun at the start of the season, it's going to slide off to the side and flip until it's a south pole at the north pole. And then within a year or less sometimes, the south pole of the sun will revert and become a north pole. And to illustrate that, on slide 42, if you click on the picture, this is where the north and south magnetic poles of the sun are today. Just click on that and bring that up so we can see it. Now, to the right there, you'll see a tilted pole green. That used to be the north pole of the sun. And the purple on the lower left used to be the south pole. And that yellow dot in the middle is what is facing toward the Earth. That's our Earth viewpoint of what is happening. And you can go to this place using the interactive solar field line viewer. You can see up there at the top there in the top left. But this shows you that there is instability in the sun as these poles are trying to flip, you know, to a new polarity. Now, on Earth, we have not one north pole, but three. Not one south pole, but three. These are little internal north-south magnetic fields, turbulence within the plasma of the planet. And these slip and tumble and cause, you know, reactions in our Earth's magnetic field, and sometimes, I think, causing earthquakes as well. They're in a process of change, and they have been for the last 5 years. This is not a time for us to have an Earth magnetic field weakening, but it is. And it's going to go down to a point where it's almost zero and then start building back up. It's a periodic thing with our poles caused by the interaction of these three pairs of north-south poles inside the planet. Actually, NASA has a video or a video and stills that they have modeled inside the planet showing these different north-south objects inside the planet. So the sun doing what it's doing is causing erratic magnetic fields, which are stronger than they used to be against Earth because ours is weakening. And this is inputting energy into our system electrically, into our weather system. It's creating havoc in the weather. And to that end, I thought I would check on the there's a website where I get, it's called No Wind, I think. But it's where it gives you the wind velocity and speed over the planet, and you can select what altitude from ground level up to outer space. And I noticed that we had this, excessive 80-foot waves and stuff over in the South Atlantic anomaly. It was just a magnetic field, one of those three that I talked about on the Earth. And if you click at slide, there's going to be 46 to 48. Let's look at 48 first. Click on that slide. And what this is going to show you, I snapped this yesterday, was the wind patterns around Antarctica. And, okay, there's no high-speed vortices at this one, but at the bottom you'll see a blue line just off the coast of Antarctica, a dark blue line, and then above it, where there's a little arm coming out, you'll see a dark blue line. And then off to the right of the screen, you'll see that dark blue line, which is what the North Atlantic, it was where the South Atlantic anomaly is. What is causing these things? There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of these stagnant walls or something of air at sea level. Mind you, I went to this site and I clicked on higher altitudes, and it got really interesting. If you go to this, you'll find it's extremely interesting. And let's go back over to slide 46. Now, I took this one over the South Atlantic magnetic anomaly to show you. You'll see that looks like a dolphin, that blue area there stretching over, you know, left to right from the coast of South America over into and around the South Atlantic anomaly. And you'll find that is, well, there's a green loop down there underneath that dolphin shape. And right in the middle is a blue spot. So that magnetic anomaly, South Atlantic magnetic anomaly, is there in the middle of all that. I have not seen these lines. The dolphin has that dark blue line, thin line on the edge of it. And one down beneath the magnetic anomaly going straight down toward that arm of the South Pole. This is new to me. I watch this kind of stuff. And you know, if you look at the flow of the air patterns, you can zoom in on that. You'll see that on one side of that dark blue line above the dolphin, the wind is going up and over to the left. But on the other side of it, the wind is going down and to the right to join a vortex down at the South Pole. And we heard, you know, reports of UFOs and 80-foot waves and stuff in that area, which is not common. And so I don't know. There's something going on there that I can't explain.
What would cause that?
I think the sun's magnetic field is interacting with our magnetic field and producing electrical impulses and input to our system. And our weather systems follow, the charge that's given to them from the ionosphere and from direct radiation from the sun as far as magnetic field. I think this is taking advantage of our weakened magnetic field and causing these anomalous winds. Anyway, it's just my thought.
Well, remember the story a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month, about the aircraft flying and the winds pushing the aircraft to extreme speeds. Do you remember that story?
No, I don't, but I assume it's like a jet stream. I mean, that was reported during World War II and stuff, and okay. Sometime after that.
I guess my question is that related to what we're saying or what you're referencing?
Yeah, oh, definitely, okay. Definitely. And if you go to this no-wind site and choose different altitudes, you'll see how bizarre it becomes, you know, from the surface or upward or outward into space. There are some really turbulent vortices out there. Wow. I don't think we've seen this, well, in recorded history anyway. This is new.
Wow.
Yeah.
But the only other question I have real quick is, would there, to me, there's something, and I've got no idea. Something going on with Antarctica. Would Antarctica, could it have anything to do with anything, or is that a whole different subject? I mean, I don't even know how to ask the question, I guess.
Are you suggesting like the presence of alien technology down there affecting the weather?
There's something down there, I believe. I don't know what, but there's something. I mean, why else would people like John Kerry, you know, fly down to an area that is basically restricted, you know? I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I think there's something happening down there. Definitely. I don't have proof. I do know that when I was with the Teller program, that scuttlebutt in the hallways was, we do have an alien presence down there that we're negotiating with. Do they have the technology to so affect our magnetic field and our winds and stuff that it would make the pattern that we see over Antarctica now? That takes a lot of energy. Yeah. And I don't know that just a single base down there would do it. However, over a period of decades, you might be able to influence the wind flow with some control of the carbon dioxide percent in the atmosphere and things like that. That was the theme of a movie probably 10, 20 years ago about the landing of aliens who had knees that folded backwards. I forget the name of the show. You remember that one?
Yeah, I do.
If you look at slide 48 again, the South Pole, Eric, normally you have high-speed winds. These are not so high-speed because they would be redlined everywhere. They're medium speeds of winds, but these 1, 2, 3, 4 maybe more of a five up there. Oh, and six over there. These dark, thin blue lines indicate a wall between. It's like a flattened vortex, if you wish, because the wind on one side of those dark blue lines is moving this way, up, let's say, and then down on the other side. But it's such a narrow window. It's like a squashed vortex that would normally spin around, and you gotta understand that. But this is like somebody's taken the vortex spin down there and with big hands just squeeze it together. And that's why it's forming this null zone that's extremely narrow and extremely bright. So something that big, maybe it's a long time in the making, affecting our atmospheric content and heating that they've been planning. I don't know.
Okay.
All right. It's possible, but I don't know.
Well, again, I don't want to take you off. We only have about, I can't believe how quickly time flies when you're on. We only have about 5-6 minutes left. So wherever you want to go, go ahead.
Okay, let's go to slide 51, earthquakes last 7 days. Let's have a look at that.
Ooh.
Now, this South Atlantic anomaly is over in between Africa and South America, but there's nothing there, no earthquakes. The earthquakes are in the usual fault lines around the Ring of Fire in the Pacific. The New Zealand, North Island of New Zealand is not showing a lot of earthquakes, which are preemptive to a massive eruption. There's nothing there at the moment. And so I looked at where these rifts were down at the South Pole, at the North Pole. We don't see that. There are no earthquakes there. So what is happening is an aerial event triggered by changes in the magnetic field, which eventually I expect to be reflected in more earthquakes down around the edge of South Pole, Antarctica, and in the South Atlantic anomaly region. But we don't see it. There's nothing there at the moment. In slide 50, Eric, quickly. Slide 50. This is more information on that hot zone. You can see it's approaching us now. That's active region 3639 on the sun. And this is from 6 a.m. To midnight, April 15th to 16th. And these are the flares that have occurred during that time. Wow. I mean, this is extraordinary. See that?
Wow.
The sun is misbehaving, or as God planned, whatever, but it's not its normal self.
Man.
Now, tell me when I get to the 1 minute there, but anyway, slide 38 quickly.
Okay. 38.
Okay, now slide 38 is a magnetogram of the sun's outer layer. Now, the North Pole, the northern half of this, the active regions normally lead with a blue color with an orange-yellow following. You'll see that. Down on the South Pole, they lead normally with a yellow-orange leading a blue opposite. And these things line up left and right with the intermagnetic fields of the sun. But normally they're horizontal, these pairs. Now you're seeing them twist in response to this reversal of the north and south poles of the sun. And the left of the screen, I don't think it takes, a lot of instruction to tell you that there's a lot of nasty stuff coming our direction in the next 5 days because it moves from left to right. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, okay. We got about a minute and a half left, sir.
Okay. Let me see if I've got anything.
1 minute. I'm sorry.
1 minute. Okay. You'll also notice in slides 44 and 45, go to 44, this is showing the interference or absorption of various radio frequencies due to solar activity aimed at us. And over the southern United States, well, most of the United States and Central America, this was on the 15th, there was a huge blackout of radio frequencies between 1 megahertz and 15 megahertz. This was interesting.
To say the least. Wow, I'm glad you got that in. Let's watch next 5 to 7 days what happens. Stan, as always, I so appreciate you folks. Support Stan Dale and get edumacated, as Rush used to say. Join his Patreon meetings. I'm telling you, it's worth the price of admission plus. Thank you, my friend.